Hey everybody, welcome to Street Fight Radio. We're glad you're here, as always. Thanks for being here. If it's your first time, stick around for a few. You'll get an idea of what we do. Every single week, two times a week, we do a call-in show, and then we just do a basement show where Brian and I sit down here and do dabs and drink beer and talk about what's going on in the world. And usually cover some interesting stories, anywhere from cryptids to Antifa revolutions. You never know what it's going to get, what you're going to get. But I promise we are all, the listeners and hosts, focused on creating a flatter, less hierarchical, flat world to live on. Something that where everybody can have a good time and we aren't funding billionaires. Second and third boats. So, that being said, you can get more of the show by going to streetfightradio.com. You can also get a third show by going to patreon.com/streetfightradio and signing up for that. And we just did a really good one with Rachel Millman and her dad, Robert Millman, about their documentary Line in the Street, which is all about gerrymandering and the effects that it has on this community in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. There is a court case going on right now where they're suing the state government for protection of their vote, and they are covering all of that. So check them out on Indiegogo. Look for Line in the Street and, you know, throw a few dollars their way so they can document this experience and hopefully inspire other people to challenge the fucking government. I mean, we got nothing else better to do. And some of you eggheads out there can use your pen for some monkey wrenching.
That would be nice. I'd love the monkey wrench. I'm the monkey wrench kid, is what they call me.
When, who did that? Who said that?
Back in high school.
Oh,
Back in high school, they'd be like, this dude monkey wrenches, man.
You pull the fire alarm.
I actually had a friend that pulled the fire alarm.
I know. Coolest kid. I mean, your life doesn't... I mean, I don't think your life goes in the best direction if you have that tendency, but I'm super jealous. I was super jealous.
Yeah, he didn't end up doing well in life, but like that was a pretty legendary day. But I mean, the highest thing that could happen to you when I was in school was 10-day suspension. And that was this kid's first 10-day suspension where it was like... Well, that's trouble. I mean, that's like a life in prison sort of term.
Yeah, cool your heels.
Yeah, yeah. So
you got 2 weeks, dry up, come back, and don't pull the alarms.
They used to tell us, like, there were all these rumors about the fire alarms in the schools where, like, there's, like, a special ink on the thing, and if you do it, then they'll come off on your fingers, and you won't be able to wipe it off, so you don't do it. And it's like, man... Those are the most effective, like urban legends are kind of the most effective behavior modification tools for little kids. Like, because that's like, it's the same thing as like peeing in the pool. You get like a bright purple thing that follows you. It's like, all right, fine. I won't pee in the pool because I don't know if this is true or not.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever invented that peeing in the pool thing.
No, that was never happening. That was literally just parents that didn't want to have to shock the pool another time.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm kind of breaking that tradition. I tell my kid to pee in the pool all the time.
Stop it. Why are you doing that to people? You know, there's listeners right now.
That's where I pee.
Jesus Christ. Just get out of the pool, Brett. You can stop playing for a few minutes to get out of the pool and pee.
I don't see why.
You sound like an 8-year-old boy. I don't get out of the pool. I can't. I'm playing. I'm having a fun time playing pool basketball.
I'm soaked in their chemicals. Might as well put them to use.
That's true, though. When you're in a pub, I think about that a lot with a public pool. It's like, man, you pee in a public pool. I mean, it kills all the bad stuff immediately. There's so much like chlorine and stuff in those pools. It's like, whatever.
Go ahead and pee in the pool. Pee is safer than the pool water to drink.
Okay, no, I don't know if that's true, because you can get, well, I mean, I've never got a little bit of pee in my mouth, so I'm not really sure about, I'm not
gonna. There's a Bible scripture that said water will flow from their bellies, and that's an indication of the kind of biological capabilities we have.
That God gave us. God, I mean, I know Bear Grylls used to drink his own pee a lot. Like, he would just be like, yeah, I'll drink my, he, I think, liked it. Like, yeah. He would go put himself in those situations where he had to, like, eat a bug and drink his own pee. And he's like, oh, this really sucks. But in his mind, he was probably like, fuck, I love eating bugs and drinking pee. Like, it's not.
He's revved up by it.
He is a weird freaky deaky guy, man. And he just ended up getting a job doing it and knew how to sell.
Well, thank you for tuning into our radio show. We've been doing it for 6 years now on WCRS here in Columbus, Ohio, the best community radio that there is.
It certainly is. Well, Brett, this week I have a story that I had to hold back last week because we were yelling about opiates. You know, that's what we do when we're down in the basement. We take a little longer look at things, I think, and which is because it's just the two of us. It's easy. It's easy to do anything when it's just me and you down here, you know?
Yeah, and as I explained before, both of us honestly breathe by talking.
Yes, that's true. And also, like, I mean, the opiate thing, if we do opiate episodes, like when we tend to, if we talk about opiates in one episode, then we talk about them for the whole show because we've both been affected by them like a lot. We live in Ohio. So, I mean, if there's one thing that is happening in Ohio that we all know about, it's that opiate thing that's going on, you know? Hey, and congratulations to the DSA people and the socialists and all the people that won those elections yesterday. How about that, dude?
Yeah, that was very cool.
Transgendered woman in Virginia beat a guy that put up a bathroom bill. I mean, how fucking, that is great. That is like, there. It seems like they've decided to maybe win some local elections.
Yeah, it's awesome that the first year out from this, just a little bit of effort led to that many wins. I think I was actually startled about how cool it was to see, you know, because I didn't vote and I don't give a fuck about voting, but I know a lot of passionate, cool people that will take the time to cause trouble. You know, there is a lot of people that now are going to be an issue because they're going to be loud and you know, espouse morals and ethics and values and things that the regular government and the ruling parties can't deal with. You know,
right.
Bernie Sanders was so popular because Republicans and Democrats couldn't shut down what he was saying because he was just going right to the throat, you know, and Donald Trump appealed to that for other people. But these candidates are finding out pretty quickly that if you talk to them in a frank manner, they know what the fuck is up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like on District Sentinel this week, they talked about how the two most popular politicians in counties that turned and districts that turned from Obama to Trump, the two most popular politicians are Bernie Sanders and Barack Obama. And the least popular politician in those areas is Hillary Clinton. And that's something, you know, you probably could have asked that's just something you could figure out on your own, really, without even doing a lot of polling and spending all the money to figure out the T values and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, but they don't seem that she's not going to give up. And so we don't have to deal with them, though. I mean, maybe they do control the purse strings on the top, but we can erode away from the bottom. You know, there's lots of ways that, you know, radical candidates can challenge what they're doing as well, you know?
Yeah. Well, and like, I think none of these Lee Carter in Virginia didn't get any help from the Democrats at all. He didn't get any money. This was a DSA guy that ran and got the whip in the, he like beat the whip, which I loved. Like, one thing about government is, well, two things about government. One, it sucks. And two, there's a guy named the whip. And I always think that's kind of cool. It makes it, you know what I always think about when they say this guy's the whip? I think of roller derby when they would whip the person like, this is the guy we whip in there to make some trouble in the government. But now we got a socialist.
I always thought it was bullwhip. Like, that was the person that whips people into shape.
Yeah, let's get this thing going. We're going to whip this place into shape. Yeah, that's true. Get them to quit doing their weird, like. But like when that one guy was just standing there with a thing and he's like, the internet is a series of tubes. They call the whip in and it's like, enough. Cut the malarkey.
Stop the blood sacrifices. Let's get down to business.
The whip is the guy that tells them to cut the malarkey. Hey, yeah. Hey. Remember that period where the Democrats were in charge and we found out that a lot of what they were doing was like renaming post offices? That's where you need a whip to come in there. Like maybe an independent whip to come in there. Like, this can wait. Let the people that work at the post office name the post office.
Yeah, I think the whip could also be incremental in shutting down Pizzagate. Maybe the whip should take something like that seriously.
Yeah. Here's a Pizzagate. They got to come in there. Like the whip comes in and says, we're not talking about Pizzagate in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Russia. Like when they just sit there and talk about, they sat there the other day and talked about Russia, and what they came up with was Russia bought a bunch of ads on Facebook. That's got to be illegal, right? And it's like, I don't think that's illegal. I don't even know what that is.
I want to be the whip now. I want to be called the whip, and I want to just run around and whip everybody into shape.
Yeah.
And just only expect the best from everybody I meet and nothing less.
Brett,
and just
the
do
whip
that
pain.
Yes. And I will, all the justice will be done at the end of a whip, but it will be for the benefit of everybody and the people involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
A nice wholesome whipping.
Yeah. Listen to I'm looking at a New Republic article right now that Sam Knight posted about Lee Carter. He's a red-haired 30-year-old Marine veteran from Manassas. That's how he won. They were like, look, he's a socialist. But he's a Marine, so you have to vote for him. Like, all those troop people were like, I don't know, shit, a Marine? Boop, like that.
That's true.
Yeah. Sam Knight actually went and canvassed for this guy.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know, like, I'll bet you if he's a socialist, then hopefully his foreign policy is okay. Like, everybody that comes out of Marines isn't, like, a hawk. I don't think Francis is a hawk. I don't think the people I know that have been in there aren't, like, super war hawks. But that doesn't even really fucking matter because he's in a house. Like, he's in the House of Delegates for Virginia. It's like he's not controlling any of that stuff. And it's really a big symbolic victory, I think. I think anybody that can win without help from the Democrats also points out that, like, we don't want to vote for guys that run, like, people, there are a lot of people in this country that are running unopposed, that if literally anybody else ran against that person, people would probably vote for them. And that's something we should be leaning on, you know?
Right.
Like, that's something that anybody should, like, if there's a city council, like, if I went through so many different, when I voted yesterday, I went through so many different things that where there was just one person running, and I didn't vote for that person, by the way, ever. I don't vote when there's just one person running. I don't click the box, Brett, because I just feel like whatever. I also don't vote for judges because it's like, I don't know. I don't want to throw a judge a vote.
Where's my nun? See, that's, I don't vote. They don't ever ask you the right questions. I don't agree to their terms.
Yeah.
There's no NA or none of the above.
Yeah. So I want to just congratulate everybody that worked real hard to get these people elected, because I know that, like, I know you put a lot of faith into something that maybe you even didn't know how it was going to turn out. And in the end, it you ended up winning. And who knows what happens after this, but it's a really good sign. And I'm already starting to see the conservative website start say how nervous they are that this stuff is happening. So,
well, fuck them, because they've got all the other seats. Like, everybody else in government is fucking snake handlers, so they can cool it. We're gonna put some oorah socialists in there.
Well, and what this really is to me is, like, this is leftists winning. This isn't moderates. And hopefully, I mean, look, don't put your faith in these damn Democrats, because, I mean, they don't want you to win. They don't want us to win. They don't want anybody, like, left of like Bill Clinton to win an election ever. They basically wish that we could have a country run by like Ronald Reagan's, but like a little bit nicer to gay people is what they is like what they're shooting for in office. That's the Democratic, like that's their goal. That's their idea. The ideal of a Democrat is like a Joe Lieberman type of guy where it's like really not inspiring, but gets to hold on to his seat for like 100 years, because if you vote against him, then you'll get, like you said, like a snake handler or something like that.
Well, sorry, go ahead. I missed that. I thought I had some news and then I didn't. I was trying to see what, I don't even know what happened with our elections.
Oh, I didn't. I actually didn't look. I kind of followed the Carter, the Lee Carter thing, and that what is that woman's name? I mean, that was Danica, the big one for me.
Or
that,
something, Roma or something.
Yeah, that I think that was actually the big one for me was hold on, Danica Rome, a transgendered woman who
is a heavy metal guitarist as well.
Is a heavy metal guitarist one, and like, first of all, it's rad. I mean, she's got to be the first heavy metal guitarist in office, right? Yeah, well, Paul Ryan probably, or what's his name? Technically, Mike Huckabee could play guitar if he wanted to,
but not heavy metal.
No, he plays like
church
Steve
chords.
Winwood.
He does church chords.
He does like a "Back in the High Life Again" sort of thing. That's like a dad rock. He would be Mike Huckabee's favorite song in the whole world is "Life Is a Highway. I Want to Ride It All Night Long."
Right.
So that I just wanted to start out the show with like.
No, that was cool. Yeah, I mean, there's I know that a lot of people that listen to our show, or are probably very disappointed in my flippant attitude towards voting, and they vastly outnumber me. And I know there's a lot of folks that are doing the work and spending time and effort on this, and it paid off. You know, I mean, I feel like the leftists is a losers club for the most part, and it's nice to see that, you know, this kind of stuff is happening. And then you see in the Facebook groups, the right wing is flipping out. You know, they are actually worried now, which is where we want them. We want them to, you know, we want to be a real threat to them.
Keep them on the ropes. I actually found out yesterday that I was taking a look through deplorable Facebook. You know, I like to go through and see what the deplorables are up to, since my wonderful listeners of this show have become my friends on Facebook now. You've messed up my algorithm.
Oh, God. You're just getting screenshots from Twitter now on Facebook.
Yeah, and I love all of you, and this is nothing against you, but now I have to go in and look through my timeline for hours to find the good stuff. I went in through deplorable Facebook and I ended up actually finding a new social network. And part of what they're selling on it is like, don't let your grandkids see what you're posting.
No way.
I fucking swear to you.
It's a new place to go hang with other hateful people?
Yeah, it's like racist Facebook, basically. And it's like, you know, no matter what you post, your kids are going to end up seeing it. So why not come over here? Like a website where they're not going to come.
It's like the sitting room in your house where you go on your racist tirades, but on the internet.
I'm going to get you the name of it in just a second. But
oh, I want to go ruin this for some mammals.
Oh, let the racist mammals do their thing. Jeez. Okay. It's called Infinity SN.
Oh, that's a terrible name up front.
SN,
up
front, social off the network.
Rip, that they're, is bad.
They're saying social network. So Infinity Social Network. But they make it short. They say SN in both capital letters. Which
just
is
Infinity is fine.
Infinity would work. But then people will think you're going to like the cars,
the,
I guess.
Or the cable. Isn't there like an Infinity Wireless or cable company?
Probably. I mean, there's probably a
Infinity
zillion
with
Infinities.
A Y, Infinity with an I.
Yeah, Infinity SN. One word, by the way.
Do it with like D's. I would do it with D's. Infinity.
Oh my God. somebody just deleted this podcast.
No, somebody just registered that trademark. Someone's squatting on that .com.
Now Brett's gonna try and start his new Infinity line of like jeans or something, and he's gonna have to buy it off of one of you.
Yeah, these new Infinity shoelaces.
So here's the post that I found from Infinity that I got through some deplorable site.
You
that
said
I
it with
to.
The D.
Well, I mean, I have an accent, okay? Infinity.
Yeah, I have a slack jaw.
Yeah, you have a slack jaw. I'm sorry. It sounds like Infinity. Oh, Infinity.
Infinity.
So here's the post that I saw that made me laugh. Your kids will eventually see what you have posted on social media. Why not hashtag break free and have a social reset and reinvent yourself? Also, who wants a free shirt? Christmas in November, Infinity SN with our director of branding, Jeremy Harrell. So he did a live show and he was just explaining like, you
folks,
know, you,
go ahead.
No, you do it. I would rather you do it. You're better at it than me.
Folks. When you're on Facebook, it's in the public. You're not supposed to talk about religion and politics in the public. Come to Infinity. You can say whatever you want into Infinity, and no one will ever know about it, and no one will ever call you racist or prejudicial ever again.
Come to this site where there's nobody else. This is where there's
literally no one will see this. There's no trouble to get in. You're not going to get any texts in the middle of the night that say, "Are you hacked, Mom?"
you can't do anything else.
You can like all the sexy fireman photos you want on Infinity SN.
There aren't going to be like, it's funny because do you think like what brands are going to sign up for an Infinity SN account? Like, is it going to be all like the, basically the stuff they sell them, like catheters and survival seats,
prepper stuff,
prepper shit, but you won't be able to go like to your, the Wendy's Infinity site and yell at them for giving you like one less slice of bacon on your JBC or anything.
That's true. But they will be able to get way more free as advertisers. So it will be like Alex Jones, folks, they're storming the gates right now. You need DNA. You need DNA renewal today. Your mitochondria need to be rebuilt. It's happening. Like, they can get away with whatever they want, you know, at that point.
I've just never seen such a funny, like, that is the funniest sales pitch. Like, I picture these dudes sitting in a room and being like, okay, what's the problems with Facebook? Well, number one, our grandchildren all see our posts, and then they stop coming to Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is bad now just because I shared a story about a black woman on welfare.
Oh, I shared my concerns about transgendered youths, and now all of a sudden I'm not allowed to babysit my young son or my grandson.
All I did was do a heart react on an intellectual takeout article on biological sex restrooms.
Yeah. All I did was say that I agree with those weird guys that stand outside of the Target bathroom and try to check people's genitals as they walk in.
It was just, we need a place where we can have a locker room talk. It was just a meme that said, if they talk about the wage gap, give them a slap. I know not to do that. I wouldn't do that to my daughter-in-law, you know? But Infinity SN, I don't have to have that conversation with my daughter-in-law. I can make all the jokes I want about women.
So, I mean, it's just like, God, they're on the ropes, guys. Like,
yeah, I mean,
they're really on the ropes. They're going to shut themselves off even online.
They want to see them grandbabies. They got to see the grandkids. They're going to bite their tongue. And I would love for her to have free education. Yeah, but who's going to pay for it?
Yeah. Uncle Larry's going to be on Infinity SN soon, and when you show up to the dinner on Thanksgiving, he's going to have a fucking piece of duct tape across his mouth with the word censorship written on it. This is what we're headed to, guys, in this new, brave, new socialist world.
Maybe it's just like, what if they just need a place to blow off steam and it works? Like, if we don't have to see all the ugliness, and then they just go back to their fake-ass Christianity when you hang around them? Like, that would be fine. Like, maybe it would work. They need their own little safe space to be unsafe. They need their little safe space to be unsafe. That's what it is.
I want to. I'm
a safe space to be unsafe. Infinity SN.
I think the thing that's got me going about Infinity SN is that I'm definitely going to have an account over there, and that's kind of bothering me.
I'm more excited about this than I am Elo.
This thing is just going to be all our listeners. That's what's going to end up happening.
It's just going to be all the Verge commenters are basically will be in there.
Yeah. I'm excited about the whole thing, though. I'm excited about the prospect of a new place to go get deplorable memes.
Unfiltered deplorable memes. Straight.
Like memes of fucking a muscular Donald Trump looking brave somewhere. Like, that'll be the new place to go get them. It's fucking excellent, man. It's like, they're going to section themselves off into like this weird space where there's like no entertainment because, okay, you know, they don't have football anymore. They don't have movies and they're not allowed to watch movies anymore. Now they're not allowed to be on Facebook where everybody is. The reason we all have to have Facebook is that's where everybody is. You know what I'm saying? So like
where the most people are.
Yeah. It's the same thing with Twitter. Like we're just all stuck there because that's where all the people are. And a social network with less people isn't fun. Like Elo's not fun because nobody's fucking over there. And like these people are going to like section themselves off in some echo chamber and not go anywhere and not watch and only watch CBS, right? All they watch is like Young Sheldon and NCIS.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like Infinity SN has 60 Minutes clips on demand.
Yeah. So yeah, that's well, they don't watch 60 Minutes. That's lib stuff.
Oh, is
to them.
It?
Oh my God.
I didn't know that.
I mean, it was when I was like I remember Rush Limbaugh used to rail against 60 Minutes like all the time. This bull crap. It's like these are old. I mean, it's just like old people news. My parents used to watch 60 Minutes. I actually watched 60 Minutes for a period of my life because I thought it made me intelligent.
My wife's into it now.
Oh, watching 60 Minutes every week. I also used to watch CBS Sunday Morning when I had a real job and my daughter. Well, like I had to wake up with my daughter on Sundays. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to sit down and watch CBS Sunday Morning where they'll play a sweet flute song and tell me the latest news about like Social Security or some guy that lives in a cabin somewhere in the woods and like uses his urine to power some kind of a water irrigation system or something.
Okay, so it's not bad. It is just the Puerto Rico thing was pretty good on there that we watched. But I did have a moment where there was a Justin Trudeau episode, and I didn't realize that motherfucker was like a goddamn Richie Rich. Like he's a well-heeled motherfucking rich boy.
And he's like people think he's a hunk, but he does lots of bad stuff.
Well, that's what she was like. Oh, she was like, "Oh, I like this guy cuz they're telling this, you know, I mean it's a jovial fun story the way that they spin it. They're trying to make good TV." And then she's like, "Oh, you're not a fan of his?" And I was like, "Well, he's kind of a colonialist and imperialist." And then I was like, then that cracked open this whole thing all about like, yeah, no respect for world leaders, no matter how cutesy they are.
Yeah, I know that he jogs and shit like that. And it's like
charming as shit.
He probably watches all the right movies and reads all the right books and stuff. But he also builds pipelines through indigenous people's land. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, say no to Justin Trudeau. Actually, me and you just don't really know what's bad. It's just little bits and pieces.
Well, anybody that's the leader of a country is bad.
Well, that's true.
Anybody that chooses to be president should be in jail.
Yeah.
Anybody that says they'll lead the country should be in jail immediately.
How did your wife feel about Justin Trudeau at the end of the Justin Trudeau?
She understood what I'm saying. She just thinks like usual. I mean, I'm just a ruiner of things, but she understands what I was saying. She just meant she thought it was, you know, it just, he's cheeky. She likes cheeky stuff. She, you know, and so she's just like, you know, well, ignore all of that stuff and look at the cheeky stuff and it's still fun. It's like, fine, fair.
That's fair. I and you can like, yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. Like if my wife never would tell me that, like, if Justin Trudeau was on TV, my wife would never be like, oh, he seems kind of nice, because she knows that I'd be like, fuck that guy, and yeah, tell her all the reasons why he's a bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you should be ruining him, I guess. No, you did it. You did the job, man. She knew you weren't going to like him. There's no way that you guys were watching that and she was going to be like, maybe this is the one world leader that Brett does like and doesn't want to throw a bottle of piss at.
Motherfucker in a suit. Yeah, sitting there wearing a goddamn jacket in the middle of fucking summer like a moron. Wearing a a handkerchief around his goddamn neck, and it's 90 degrees out. That bothers
rich?
Me.
He was a rich boy. He was born to tell rich.
I forgot to tell you, when I did that wedding, I got to buy a suit, because by the time I was going to cost to rent it, I was like, I can just buy a suit. And when I was shopping for one, I realized I hate him so fucking much. I felt so boring. As soon as he threw it on me, I was just like a swath of gray fabric. And I felt like all of my vibrance and personality had been stripped from me.
It ruined you?
That's ruined so me, funny. Dude. It made me so fucking sour on the whole idea.
I've put one on before. I've put like the jacket on and the slacks. My brother got married, and I was kind of like, I was really excited about the fact that I was going to get to put on a suit. But as soon as I put it on, I was like, there's no way to make these things look cool to me at all. Like, I just... fuck this.
I mean, I like the jackets if I can get like a fancy jacket or something, but having like all the same color, and then once again, wearing a jacket in the middle of the summer makes you look stupid. Like, I don't think anybody's my superior that is wearing a long sleeve shirt with a jacket over it, and they're like all of the steam from their armpits cinched around their, you know, with like a something cinched around their neck to keep the steam from their armpits inside, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's stupid. People in Dallas, Texas are wearing those monkey suits and running around in these really boring outfits just to be like the sameness motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people listening that I'm offending, but whatever, fuck you.
I don't wear suits. I mean, we're not suit boys. We're
this ain't the place for suits. I think they're cool, like when I read magazines and stuff, but like, you got to spend a bajillion dollars on them.
Yeah, a cool one. Yeah, if you want to look cool in a suit, you got to have an amount of money that we don't have.
Right.
So no suits for the street fight boys. We look good in what we wear, and it's a reasonable price.
Yeah, I would. I like to wear knockoff Gucci instead.
Yeah. I just like to wear good-looking jeans, and nobody can really say anything about that. You know, it's like, oh, this guy wears some pretty good jeans.
I just can't get past buying used clothes on eBay. Like, my boots were $300 boots, but because some guy wore them once and decided he didn't want them, I got them for $60. And I still can't. I just am such a deal person. I cannot bring myself to blow a ton of money on shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
Too addicted to that deal.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some more news, Brett.
Okay.
I got some news for you, man. I saw this story from the Washington Post. I cannot tell you where I got it because it was on Facebook and somebody posted it, and it's not really it's sort of something that we've been kind of looking at a little bit. I don't know if it's something we totally cover all the time, but I saw this headline from the Washington Post that said, sexually active students must be reported to law enforcement or state officials, Oregon School District says. So teachers and staff in the Salem-Keizner School District, which includes more than 40,000 students, were recently told that if they learn or merely suspect a student is sexually active, they must report it to law enforcement or state officials.
And these are high school kids?
According to Oregon law, anyone under 18 years old cannot legally give consent, meaning all sexual activities between minors is considered sexual abuse.
No, fuck that. Hell no. Hell no. No way. Nah, that's unreasonable.
Well, yeah, I absolutely...
You can't criminalize teenage love. Come on, man. We've made entire industries off of that.
Yeah.
Like, everybody just wants to go back to being 16 years old and fucking like crazy.
Having sex like 43 times.
Yeah,
in
just
a week.
Like, let's try it like this now. What if I hold you upside down? I think I can carry you down the steps. Like, it'll just like be hard. Yeah. What the fuck? Where were these problems? This is the problem with growing old. And this is you 22-year-olds. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. The world is going to try to get you to turn your back on youth and start penalizing and punishing it. It happens to people our age. When people turn 30, all of a sudden they're like, I think 17-year-olds can't make the decision to have sex. And it's like, they're rock hard and passionate. Like, what's the problem? Like, that's what you need. That's like the best circumstances for sex.
I mean, you hear about these stories in like a lot of in some states where like the age of consent has this weird thing where like, and they usually do this to black kids. I've known like black men that are having sex with young white women. So somebody that's like 18 and somebody that's 16, and the black guy gets thrown in jail for abuse and shit like that. I have seen that happen. I believe Georgia is where the real famous one happens. And it's one of those things where like, who the fuck is going to go out and say we need to, you know, have some kind of because that's not abuse. You know,
no, and I mean, it's everybody. I mean, it's not even at risk teens. Like it's a joke, but it's also true that like the band has hella sex.
Yeah.
Like, well, those geeks are fucking, man. Like, everybody has carnal needs. And maybe to the asexual folks, you feel left out. But like, for most of us, it's like
Well, I don't think anybody that's asexual would agree with this, though. I don't think they'd want to punish.
Yeah, that's true. Canoodling.
It's another one of those like, how does this stuff happen with a bunch of adults?
Sure.
Like, how they
sit down.
Yeah. How are all the people in charge sitting down and like getting this? And here it is. The subject came up at a training session for teachers and staff in the school district because we felt like we hadn't made it clear enough, as Superintendent Christy Perry told the Statesman Journal. The superintendent, this sounds like the sort of thing that like one person got a burr up their ass about, like, these teens are having sex, or, you know, is what it sounds like. It sounds like, well, let's see. During the presentation, the district offered several specific examples of when an employee needs to contact law enforcement. These include a 15-year-old telling a teacher that she is having sex with her boyfriend and wants to learn about birth control, or a 17-year-old confiding in a teacher that his 16-year-old girl is pregnant. They have to call the fucking police, Brett.
The police are the fucking worst, man. Those guys are dummies. I told you. I tweeted about it, but I hung out with a goddamn cop that was showing me a bunch of fake news articles about finding razor blades in cotton candy and kids playing Russian roulette for fun.
Yeah. Remember the Lazarus parties a cop came up with the other day?
No.
Or like a long time ago? You don't remember the Lazarus parties where they said kids are fucking overdosing on heroin so they can use Narcan to be...
Oh, revived.
Revived, yeah.
It's cool if you get Narcan'd. That's why they're going through so much Narcan, because kids want to show off that they can OD.
I mean, they say the real wildest stuff. You know?
It's all made up, man.
From it is.
People actually, that have the wildest imaginations.
Actually, what's interesting about that, and this is like a quick aside about... Well, actually, it's not. It's about how the police are the worst possible people to deal with some of this stuff. Last week... The local news channel reported a story that the Columbus police had said that fentanyl is now in all drugs. Like, that people are slipping fentanyl into all drugs.
Oh, okay.
And I read it and I was like, you know, maybe somebody did put fentanyl in cocaine, and somebody put fentanyl in Molly, and it led to an OD or something like that. I'm not saying that didn't happen. But when the police say it like that, nobody believes it. Just when people hear it, I mean, obviously, like,
what
square
do you mean?
People.
Everybody believes it.
I'm saying people
it.
That use drugs.
Oh.
People that use, it's not getting to the people that it would actually save. And when it does get to them, they're like, oh, that's bullshit, because it's the police saying it. Everybody else, I agree with you that everybody else believes it, but it's not really saving a life when they make that announcement. Hopefully it does, but it's like they're the worst possible people to make that announcement, because they lie to us about drugs like all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's very, anybody that uses drugs or sold drugs, as soon as you watch, it's the first, you know, when you read police reports and accounts and busts and articles about it, you know, they're lying. You know how much things actually cost. You know, they're saying that it costs $10,000 a pound for weed, and, you know, they're making up all kinds of things because nobody's – the only people that can double check them are drug addicts, people that use drugs, you know? So, yeah, I mean, they aren't a trustworthy source.
And no, they're not.
You know, they are taking one event that happened, maybe not even in their neck of the woods, but just they went through special training because it happened in one place. And now they've decided to just make a press release that says, just so you know, this is happening everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not.
I mean, they're just like, if the less problems we can give to the law enforcement to
deal with,
they don't
know what they're doing.
They're just listen to this one. Another example.
And they're usually creeps, man. I know fucking a lot of creep cops. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's been coming up a lot, too. Just in news stories, you see some of the things these cops have been doing. Just if you want to look, when you say I've met them and think that anecdotally, and I have, too, I've met cops that are creeps. It's also just like you read these stories about them raping people and things like that. And like it keeps happening more and more, I think, in Chicago and Oakland. And you see stories.
When you get people to put Blue Lives Matter stickers and flags all over themselves and declare the police as the most valiant and brave, it creates a place kind of like the priest situation and pedophilia where, I mean, no one's really going after the cops, you know. No one's, you know, in that with this shooter in Texas, they were covering up a domestic abuse by a troop. That's why that guy was able to get a gun, because they don't want to have those kinds of things on a record. So when you create these G.I. Joes and heroes, you end up with folks that are going to use, you know, a lot of psychopaths and sociopaths are going to use that for their advantage.
Yeah. So here's another example. A 14-year-old boy confides in you that he was kicked out of the house after his parents discovered that he was in a same-sex relationship. During the conversation, the student shares that he is engaged in sexual acts with his partner. And going to the police or the state, I don't even know if you really go to the parents. If you know, this kid's kicked out of his house. Like, just for that example, and that's just an example. That's not something that's actually happened, but that's something that I could see happening with...
Oh, it's happened.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time, and that's something I could see happening. That's not a rare thing, especially these days. Things are going to be... It's even more not rare.
But the world is... Everything is filtered through the police.
That's true, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I mean, they're the ones that decide whether they go to like a foster care situation or overnight or a shelter or whatever. Like, those are the people.
Yeah, this is just this seems like the most disastrous. This seems like a disaster. Like this, so many disagree. An online online petition calling for an end to the mandate has garnered more than 1,100 signatures. Some gathered on the state capitol steps to protest the policy. Some pointed out that this leaves high school students without anyone to speak to about sex, which is something that I'm concerned. My daughter's 13, and like I'm concerned with her feeling safe to talk about this. You know, like I want her to... Like seeing her now, and I've always felt this way, that you need to just be as honest with you as you can.
You got to bite the bullet.
Yeah, and you just got to be as honest as you can about these sorts of things with them and hope that they just make the right decision. Because if you fucking lie, that leads to even worse. That's what leads to like pregnancy and shit like that, is if you lie and you don't explain things and you avoid the conversation and you're not... And if a kid doesn't have any place to talk about sex, that is what leads to like some of the bad effects of it. Does that make sense to you?
No, that's hitting the nail on the head. I mean, the thing I know about sex from when I was a teen doing sex was that I wish there was a safe haven to be able to talk about things like this, because, you know, I did have a pretty good sex ed teacher that was really frank, and if you wanted to have a serious conversation, you would have had it. Not that I ever used that, but I certainly think that we need to do way more talking about it, because we've been, I mean, the people, the generation above us that are screaming about it, those, they grew up in a completely repressive environment. And the situation that we have with sex in America as a whole is a completely perverted and fucked up weird situation as it is, you know?
Well, and yeah,
like we sexualize kids, but then don't talk to kids about sex.
Yeah.
You know?
And these are these types of things. This is where that conservatism fucks with me. You know, they say, I don't want you to push your values on me or my children. And I'm like, well, your values are, because my values, my value with my kid is honesty. That's one of my values, right, that I share with my kid. I'm not like, I don't lie to my kid. I should be allowed to tell, we should be, I feel that good relationships involve honest, frank conversations about things like sex and drugs and rock and roll. Not yeah. The rock and roll. I mean, honest.
You gotta give them, you gotta put them in the right direction, though. You need. It's just as important as sex and drugs, is making sure they know what the right rock and roll is. Come on.
Yeah. You don't want them like coming out listening to like
no Maroon 5,
Third Eye Blind.
Yeah. I mean, no. You're exactly right. Here's the thing that convinced me to have a kid. The thought that like put in motion was, I figured I could counsel somebody. Like if I was in charge of somebody, I would be able to like steer them. I'm not going to micromanage. I'm not going to shame them. I'm not going to yell at them. I'm just going to be like counsel for when they need help with this kind of stuff. And I would hate for my daughter to feel like, because she likes a boy enough that she wants to have sex with him, that should be something that the cops is now a criminal situation. It feels like, because that's all they do is crime and punishment. You know,
that is like their fucking job. There
doesn't, why? So the teenage sex thing shouldn't be under their purview, you know?
No, and you're right. And I want the teacher. I also want my daughter's teachers to be empowered to speak to her about things like this too. I think that anywhere where they can get honest information, the honest right information, seems like that's a win. That's a good thing. I trust my daughter with her teachers already plenty, you know? And like, if she's uncomfortable talking, because listen, kids are, everybody's different. And like, at least for me, I feel more comfortable confiding in the few people that I'm very close with. Just basically Brett and my wife. Like, I feel comfortable confiding in you two, but there are other people who feel more comfortable confiding in strangers or like a teacher instead of their parents. You know, I can imagine my daughter probably doesn't want to talk to me about sex at all. I know for a fact that she wants nothing to do with any kind of that conversation with me. So I just, part of me is like, well, you know, hopefully she trusts her mom, and I think she does trust her mom more than probably any. I mean, my kid is like, they have a relationship where I feel really good with, like, that she'll come to her, you know?
Yeah, you're jealous.
But, like, if she couldn't, I'm not jealous. I'm fine. We have a cool relationship, too.
I'm jealous. Mine is a mama's girl, and I'm jealous.
Yeah. But you, if she doesn't feel comfortable talking to Katie, then I think a teacher is like the next best fucking thing to talk about this sort of thing. And I could see her. Or
promiscuous aunt.
Stop it. I mean anybody, really anybody. I mean or permissive amp, I think is what you're saying. Yeah, anybody that is like gonna give her, like, that's not going to just try to scare her away from it. You know, it's the same thing with drugs. Like, I don't want her to do it, but I'm also not going to yell at her not to do it. You know, I'm hoping that I'm instilling the values and that I've got her trust enough that she'll listen to me when I say, don't do these until you're a little older and you can handle them more. And it's the same thing with sex. Like, I'm not going to tell her not to have sex. And I know that there's a I know that this possibility exists. I'm not panicking. I don't really think it's my place. It's not my business to to be part that part, like the dads that are like, oh, sit on, I'm gonna pick her boyfriend and I'm gonna shoot her. And like, I thought those feelings might happen in me when it came time. And it,
well, you gotta wait till the knucklehead comes over. Well, then you're gonna be pissed.
Well, I mean, if he's a dumbass, then he's a dumbass, though. I'm not,
or
like,
she.
Or she. If they're a dumbass, then that, I mean, I'll tell her that they're a dumbass. But like, I was a dumbass boyfriend.
It's true.
I actually feel like the opposite way, and that like, I used to date this girl, and look, I look at myself now and I know what's going on, but I used to date this girl and I used to hang out with her a lot, and I had this other dude that was a friend that used to hang out with us a lot too, and we would just, he would drive us around and we would, you know, hang out and do whatever we were gonna do. And one day we went to my girlfriend's house while her parents were there, and her dad offered the other guy a job. didn't talk to me hardly at all, and then offered the, I was unemployed,
right,
and he offered the other guy a job while we were there. I mean, it was really incredible. Like,
yeah, that's a move.
And then, oh, that always made me, I mean, I felt like he didn't like me. I'm gonna,
maybe maybe a little bit.
I mean, I felt like he didn't, he,
yeah, you got dissed, man.
I felt like he wished that maybe the other guy was dating his daughter.
I could see that.
I don't want to be that, though, either.
He brought, like, him closer into the fold. He's like, you're in my company now.
That made me a more, that made me feel less than.
Yeah, you weren't.
I didn't feel good about myself.
Insignificant.
Yeah. And like, I don't want to make another kid feel like that. I was just a dumbass kid. You know, I was just a dumbass kid. I was pretty bad. I mean, I was all wrong and bad, yeah, and stuff, yeah, like that. But I also like was like, oh, I love your daughter. I think she's great and really cool and stuff like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I care about, that. I cared a lot about her. You know, I wasn't, sure, going to hurt her personally. I just was like kind of a scuzzbag.
Of course,
you know?
Of course.
I don't know. I want like this stuff to kind of go off without a hitch is my thoughts about it. Is like, can we make,
I think it can. I don't know. I think
so too.
Pesterers. I'm kind of a pesterer.
Everybody pesters my daughter all the fucking time.
I give your
time.
Daughter so much unasked for advice. Like, I'll just give her advice on why I'm driving the way I am. Like, I'm just always trying to share knowledge. Like, and she hates it, but I'm not going to stop.
I mean, everybody does that with her, yeah, now, though. She's 13, and now we all remember being 13. Or like,
yeah, you just want to tell her, like, a million things. Like, please don't get too wound up about this. The dances are not that big of a deal. Like, don't get in your own head. Right? You know, like, there's just so many things that you wish you knew.
It seems like she's really healthy about it, though. We have kind of been going off without a hitch. I never had any issues, really. I had the one scary moment, but that was a mistake. And it was like
the best. He called me. I was doing a mystery shop, which are like timed and report and all this, and Brian calls me. He's like, man, I gotta talk to you. You got a minute? And he's like, I just got a call from the school, and they said Gwen wrote a suicide note. And I was like, damn. And I've like had to stop in the middle of the Whole Foods.
And we had to, like, I really freaked out. Like I said, my goal is to make this thing go off without a hitch, not screw up. I feel like I do a really good job. I feel really trustworthy. She trusts me. I know that. She trusts my wife, and she thinks we're great parents and stuff. And it doesn't seem like her. She has a problem with her friends. She has a lot of friends, and I don't see them fighting or anything. And I like to give her a lot of privacy with the phone. I don't go through her phone. I don't even look at her fucking Snapchat, but that's because Brett would tell me if anything bad was happening. But like, at that moment, I thought, like, fuck, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm doing everything wrong. Maybe this is all too permissive.
Yeah. Yeah. You did. You like didn't do the square upbringing. You veered away too far away from traditional values, and now you've got yourself a suicidal kid.
Yeah. So what ended up the story is that I went to the school to meet with them, and they said, oh shit, that was a mistake. It was a different Gwen. And I was just like, holy, it was a different Gwen and like a different grade. And it was just like, they weren't answering the phone either. Like they called and told us. And then when we tried to call back, they weren't answering and we couldn't get an answer out of them. We had to wait like 2 hours to find out what's going on. And my brain just spiraled. It's like my real worry though in the whole thing was that she didn't have anybody to fucking talk
to. Yeah.
Like that's what I was thinking.
Well,
about.
She had a guidance counselor, whoever found it, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, it's a bang up job she did with that information.
I totally spaced that.
Yeah, it was but my worst, I think that realized a lot of my worst fears in that, like, she doesn't trust me. She doesn't have anybody to talk to. She has nowhere to go and she has nowhere to turn. Like, I've had people in my life commit suicide. Like, two people in my life have like done it. And like, it hits hard for me when that sort of a, like, to even think that my kid was getting to that space and that like, that shit, like, I don't know, man. It's like, did I, and I think a lot of people who have had these things were like, was I not there for, why was there no one there for them to go to? Why did they feel so hopeless? Why did they have no one to go to? So that's, I mean, my fears hit because of that. And then, so I'm looking at this thing, this news story, and they really have taken one of the people that we have, like one of the valuable assets that it's possible a kid would trust. And that fucking is scary to me when it, and especially when we talk about something like sex, where we've joked around a lot, but that's also like a place where a lot of bad feelings happen and can happen, you know?
Yeah. I mean, when we met Rachel Millman in, at the Humor in the Abject show in New York, her dad was there too with her, and we got in a conversation about that, and she was asking, like, you know, if I was going to be one of those disgusted dads with like the rifle and everything. And I really just want to give her the tools to do her own thing and
to, like, be a disgusted dad.
She can be her own disgusted dad.
Raise your daughter to be her own disgusted dad.
Right. And her mom, I mean, her mom is already like that. I mean, her mom is already a powerful lady that makes decisions that, you know, for herself. And, you know, I mean, I set a good example for what she should expect from a partner. She, you know, should it happen to be a dude. And so, you know, I would rather give her the tools, and I'd rather her say, I'm being pressured for sex. And it's like, I mean, are you ready to try sex? You know, like, I'd rather have that conversation than have a cop grill her and say, like, you're at risk of going down the highway to hell.
Probably show her some fucking video some idiot made. Some like fucking, like those satanic videos we did on the live show that you can get on Vimeo with Chapo Trap House.
Yeah. Kids that have sex end up in sex trafficking.
Yeah. That is, I mean, and we gotta stop letting these people decide what needs to be, how you're supposed to deal with some of these more delicate subjects. It's the same thing we talked about with drugs last week. We gotta fucking change this.
And it's what you said though. It's like when there's adults in the room, this is the thing we have to change too. I mean, We are a generation that's that's way smarter, but we are, you know, we're relying on a lot of really dumb analog people, you know, that stick to like this authoritarian respect your elders. We're older than them. We can just boss them around.
Or private, but, right? Things need to be kept private. That is another thing that, like, with kids, that you're talking about the old values, right? And one of those values is that, like, we don't tell our kids fucking anything.
Yeah.
You know, we make sure that, like, they don't know how they hear a shined up version of our childhood, and they don't hear the fucked up things we did, the times we fucked up, which is what we're talking about here.
Yeah. And we already know from experience that there's a lot of crazy shit that goes on during these time periods of your life. And to shut that down or ignore it or punish it out of existence is just asinine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, it really is. Like, I hope we're moving toward a place where we can talk about these things and like, and it's, do you think the disgusted dad is really mainstream culture? I really do.
We got so many tendy dads at my school, man. There's the dads that come in or are like goofballs that like are kissing their kids on the mouth and shit. Like there's like fully loving like orangutan style.
Well, that's great. That's great. Cause I do in a way identify with them. You want every, like some people are just kind of a dumb person that like thinks like, well, you got to violence. If you want things to be different, yes, you got to do a violent thing and then it'll be different again.
Yeah. I mean, it's still out there. I just think that we are so early in this, like, engaged father movement. Like it's not even common, you know. There's still so many slacker dads out there that aren't involved.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I mean,
it's very easy. Like we came up on the promise that like you could have dinner made for you and like you got to pick what was on TV, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people still riding on that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know, if
you're right about but, the we like that, just I'm 100% because that is the way that
boys don't have to learn how to do chores.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a difference between like the values you teach a boy and the values you teach a girl and things like that. Like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and that's the biggest teacher for my kid, really. Is they're like, your kid is so polite. And it's like, that's because I say thank you, like, religiously. I say thank you for every single thing that somebody does for me. That's the only reason she says it. The reason she likes vegetables so much is because we make vegetables in our house all the time and she eats them regularly. Yeah. That's why it's not an anomaly, you know.
It's not weird because that's the food she gets. And, like, you do have an extraordinary amount of power in the first, like, 5 or 6 years of your kid's life.
Yeah, yeah. And so... I mean, you just have to be that kind of, I just want to continue to be that kind of a role model, I guess, by leading by my actions. And, you know, it's going to be in the long run, the more that we talk to kids, I mean, already my daughter knows what's up. Like she gives me looks when she knows when I'm bullshitting now. And your kid already knows what's up. I mean, she's already grown to me for the most part. I got to engage with her like she's an adult. Like I can run circles around her, but like I'm not like talking to her like a baby. She knows what's up.
I mean,
she gets the gist of everything, really. She's seen most of it, you know, at this point.
Yeah, she
knows what office life is, what day-to-day adult shit is. She knows what the trends are. She's got her finger on the pulse.
She knows about bills.
Yeah. Money, all that.
She knows what she wants to do. And she know, well, I mean, maybe not when she gets older, but she knows where she's. I think my daughter has like a really good sense of where she is in life, I guess, but that I don't see a lot of kids getting. I don't see a lot of some. When I was a kid, I didn't really have any kind of a sense of where I fit in a way, or like where I, like even in my house, though, I never had a place where I felt like, okay, everything's cool. I always felt like there was authority, like,
yeah,
looking at him. I don't think she feels that way.
And yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like, you got more of a chance to experiment and find who you are. You know, it's like it took me forever to find out I wanted to be an artist, but like I was screaming to do it for so long. It just wasn't any sort of environment to bring that out.
Nobody even told you could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem with what we do is like, man, I think I always wanted to be doing this. And if somebody would have said, hey, you can do that, this all might've happened earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know though. I could have been a comedian.
We have our own story. I'm fine with it, but I do feel like there is a, you know, maybe that's the outsider status is that, you know, the folks that usually end up making it have those structures of and support and people that say like you really can do it, you know.
Yeah. Okay. let's I have one more story, and this is for the, like, we need to do this story because there's one kind of street fight list. There's a kind of street fight listener that I don't think we give any talking, any credit to, or that we don't talk about much. But I saw this story, and I wanted to do this for you.
Okay, I'm turning the vape all the way up, 420 on boost mode.
Okay. So this is in Blue Springs, Missouri. And I just feel like this is we have overlooked these people, and I feel sort of guilty for it, Brett. Mike Deering has been a part-time delivery driver for Papa John's Pizza in Blue Springs for about a year and a half. When is the last time we talked about pizza delivery drivers on our show? You would think that's a core street fight constituency.
There has to be a lot of them. Oh, I mean, you got so much time in the car.
If you're a listener of Street Fight and you deliver pizzas, please let us know. Call into the call-in show. I feel guilty that we've never given you your big ups, because I knew a lot of pizza delivery guys, and I loved a lot of them. You know, the ones I knew, they had the strongest hustle of any hustlers.
I'm married to one.
Yeah. So you have even a stronger bond with pizza delivery drivers.
Erica forever will still call it out. Like, no, you can go this way. I used to deliver pizzas over here. I know the way. Forever. She'll tell you every time you order a pizza, she'll tell you. She's like, well, you know, if we give them more of a tip, they'll prioritize our address. Like, you can get your pizzas faster if you give more money, because they'll know who you are eventually.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, it's just, that's a, you married one, because they're loved people in this show and in this world. So, so in July, while on the clock, a Blue Springs police officer pulled Deering over for speeding and not coming to a complete stop at a stop sign. I want to say something about this, because, Papa John's, he's a Papa John's driver, right? The Nazi pizza company driver. Right. But
the Daily Stormer's preferred pizza.
The pizza of Hitler. Don't they put a big thing on the top of the car that says Papa John's?
Yeah, they normally have the light up. Or maybe the magnet on the side.
No. Police.
You know what they're up to, right? Yeah.
Don't know.
And are experienced drivers, too. These folks are on the road. Like, yeah, if they pull a maneuver that maybe seems a little shiesty and they got that light up sign on top of their car, that's just a professional. That's a professional wheel person right there.
Let it slide, man.
Yeah, they can do J turns and shit. Like, that's, they can do Statham moves.
They should have special,
Yeah, they should get, I mean, definitely. They have a hot pizza in there. Like, it should be like a funeral procession. People should pull off to the side and be, oh shit, that pizza's hot, get it to their house quick, don't let it congeal.
Before I get to the bad part, before I get to the real issues on this, you are fucking with two people if you pull over a pizza person.
Like, that's true.
You're not even just like, you're not even punishing, like, maybe follow them to the place.
Yes.
And then be like, hey, come on, man, not in front of me, okay?
Yeah, I want you to know that. Well, then you're going to get them bigger tips. I want you to know your driver here pulled some pretty dangerous maneuvers to get this pizza to you. And it's like, for real, dude? You did that for me? Are you serious? Here, you want a rip of this bong after the fucking pig leaves?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Okay. So put that down on the list. Remember when Domino's used to do 30 minutes or free and they had to cut it because it was going a little wild? But
yeah, you can't meet that every time.
Don't put a time on it. Just
they do the tracking app now, though.
Yeah, that's good, too. He also received a ticket for operating a vehicle in violation of registration, meaning Deary didn't have the proper driver's license.
We shouldn't have that anyways.
Well, you're trying to sovereign citizen this guy.
I just got my shit done. I swear to God, I've been driving since I was 16, so like for 17 years now, and I think that I've been unregistered for 10 years.
Yeah.
I've bought 7 cars, probably, and I never got them re-registered after I bought them, because that was like the official paperwork that registered them. So I've probably driven most of the time on unregistered cars. And guess what? my driving was great.
You're a pretty good driver.
I tried not to hit people. I was courteous as fuck on the road, but unregistered.
Yeah. Well, I think we got probably listeners that are like, Brett, you know, you should have got registered.
You
got
to chip in. Is it about chipping in, right?
It's about chipping in. But this guy wasn't.
But they hang it over our heads. The state is holding over our fucking heads. I'd rather just have a private roads company I could chip into. I don't want to have the tied into American missiles.
Yeah. It would be nice if they, like, I think about, like, maybe a 5-year license. Like, I think the thing that drives me the craziest about the license
is 5, isn't it?
No,
the registration. You're talking about registration, your car.
Yeah, when I have to go to the place,
you
got to
go buy a $40 sticker.
That pisses me off. But anyway, this guy. So when 41 Action News investigators asked Deering if he was surprised about the driver's license ticket, he said, "Absolutely, I had no idea at all." Deering said the officer told him that he had to have a Class E Missouri driver's license, also known as a chauffeur's license, to deliver pizza.
My dude, this is for real? A pizza's now a VIP? It's got to have black car service?
We're trying to treat it VIP.
It is.
But pizza delivery drivers don't need that much credentials, Brett.
When I drive a pizza home, I put the seatbelt on it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. But they shouldn't be. They should. Come on. They're not chauffeuring anything. And secondly, this cop is just fucking with this guy. That's what's really fucking happening, Brett. He pulled him over for probably something legit. And once they do that, there's a lot of times where they're like, let's just fucking get him on everything, man. What do we got here? You're not a chauffeur. You can't chauffeur that pizza around if you're not a chauffeur. You're not allowed to drive with a passenger unless you have a chauffeur's license. And then they're like, we'll give you a ticket for that. And when 41 Action, so he received a fine for $225 for not having the classification and was told every time he was pulled over while delivering pizza without one, it would be another $225.
Holy shit. Let's this sink in for everybody. $225. Now, think about the amount of money that you use normally tip your pizza driver and divide that by 225. See how many times that goes into that. How many houses you'd have to give up your tips from?
Yeah, $225. I mean,
probably 100 houses.
Yeah, it's probably at least 2 or 3 nights of work.
Yeah.
Would you say? Like, if you're working probably 6 hours, because this is said he's part-time.
If you're getting $2 a house, that's 100 houses, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. They took that many days work from this person, who I'm going to go ahead and guess probably doesn't have a whole lot of money.
Once again, and this is once again, like, for real, you want to drive around and bother people for not having their shit together? Help me get my shit together. How about I pay you to register my fucking car for me, piggy? Like, why don't you take me? Just do it. Just help me out, you know? Like, hook me up. Like, go get me a sticker. If I need a fucking sticker on this car, can you go get one for me?
What about the serve part, man?
Yeah, where's the serve?
Yeah.
Where's the fucking serve? Take me to the DMV.
Deering said that when he was hired, no one at Papa John's ever told him he needed a Class E driver's license. Which,
no, of course they didn't.
Yeah, why would they? They just wanted to hire someone. And this is their fault. Papa John's should have probably told him if that's the real law. Part of me thinks, like,
why? No, if they knew that, they would do that.
Yeah, every place I've ever worked for that did a driver's test got fucking everything. You know, when they did a background check and a driver's license check, I mean, they fucking saw everything. I talked to the people that do them at the cable company, and they were like, yeah, we saw this and this that you had had, and I didn't see anything because I'd only been driving for 2 weeks, but they saw that. And, like, they checked it periodically while I was working there, and things would come up, and they would ask me about things that happened while I wasn't working. So they know that. And most jobs work really hard to make sure that you have the right licensure. They don't want you to be pulled over like this because it fucks with their service. But this Papa John's, they didn't tell them. So whoever's right here. But so listen to this, though, dude. Listen to this. He asked management for help with his ticket, and after more than a month of waiting for an answer, Metro Papa John's executive, Daniel Willis, said no.
Like, come on, you can't give this guy a little bit of help? You fucking didn't...
Peel off some hundos.
Yeah, $225, dude. Papa John's can afford $225.
Yeah, man. Start getting chauffeur licenses for everybody, Papa.
Papa should be getting... I mean, really? Like, they should have to just pay for the car. They should have to pay for the maintenance.
That's what they do now, though. Donato's has them little smart cars at the one downtown.
Great.
Where they just let you drive their car.
That's great.
The pizza. You put... It's just you and then the pizza in the passenger seat. Pizza in the passenger seat. And then you just put your seatbelt on it.
That's great. Wow. I wonder how much they're paying, though.
Nothing.
Yeah, probably not.
But you're not burning up your own gas on it, at least.
Yeah, and your car. You're not burning up your own car. I mean,
that's the scam, is that, like, yeah, I mean, you get, like, a whole bunch of money up front, but you're kind of not paying attention to the wear and tear on your car and the gas and all of that.
That's the shit that fucked me up when I was driving Lyft. It's all I fucking thought about.
Right. It's like, you know, I made $90 tonight. I did spend $25 on gas to get out, you know, before I started driving.
Wore out my brakes fucking in 2 months.
Right.
All right, man. Well, hey, solidarity to the pizza drivers. This guy got fucked. If you own a pizza place in wherever this happened, Blue Springs, Missouri, and you're not a fucking small business tyrant, hire this guy and give him a fair wage, okay?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We need to celebrate our pizza delivery driver.
We do. I really...
This week, it's Christmas season. Call up your local Nate or Emily or whoever delivers your pizza and give them an extra love.
I feel like it's a failure on our part that we haven't talked more about pizza delivery drivers. I really do. I see that as a black mark on the history of Street Fight, I think. They're just like our people to the T. Like, every pizza delivery driver I ever met, if I told him to listen to this podcast, he would be a huge fan of it.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thanks for listening to what we do. If you want even more, just go to streetfireradio.com. Go to iTunes. Go to Stitcher Radio. Go to Facebook. Go to Snapchat. Go to Instagram. Go to Twitter. Go to Tumblr. We're everywhere.
Infinity SN.
Go to Infinity SN. We're on there with our real hot takes.
Yeah, that's where we put all the stuff that we don't want our daughters to. That's where I put all my disgusted dad posts.
Yeah, this is the shit that we don't want anybody else to see. It happens on Infinity SN. If you want even more of what we do, we have a zine that comes out every single month. Zine, self-published magazine. That's the slang. If you
Zine.
The Wikipedia version. Some people call it a zine.
Will Menaker.
Just Will Menaker, really.
And he gets yelled at, by the way, so every time he does it, so it's okay.
It's fans and friends and us writing and drawing every single month, $5 a month. And that deal isn't going to last until the end of the year. We're working on a new structure for 2018, but you have until the end of the year to lock in that $5 a month, because we're going to have to make some adjustments in the future to make things work. But I really think that you should, because it's a lot of fun. And we've been able to work with Clownhound on Twitter. Steven has been a really big help as far as making that thing look amazing. He does all the layouts and the arrangement of it. He's done some incredible work. So I'm really proud of it every single month it comes out. If you sign up in the month of November, you're going to get the family zine in December, which will probably be pretty good. I know people like when we do our family stuff like we did tonight. I'm sure we'll get a lot of messages about it. And I plan to write something for it. And I hope that we can do it in a Street Fight way. For those of you that are waiting for your October rewards, they are a little bit late. We're sending them out tomorrow night. So They will be there very soon, within a couple of days. And then November 1st, if you got charged on Patreon, we got the cooking zine we're sending out at the end of this month. We've already got a few recipes. They're really cool. It's going to be awesome. Don't sleep on this shit. You really got to get into it. We even offer kratom over on the Patreon side. It's a magical leaf from Southeast Asia. Makes you feel great. It's that podcast juice that keeps Brian and Felix going. So check it out. StreetFightRadio.com or Patreon.com/StreetFightRadio for the bonus stuff. We will see you later this week. We're Street Fight. Peace.
You better watch out, or you're gonna end up back inside. Your dad's a cop, your uncle's a screw. You watch them stop to look at other prisoners. It's just a walk, you'll find them out, and have them a zoo. I don't end up like my dad, and I won't end up being a screw. For 20 days, thought I'd pray, I've got to pay. The ones that meant, the ones that made, and I've been dreamed. I got it in the car, it wasn't my fault. The dead, I'd be with a rock and bottom. Tried to warn him, I had that life, and now he's dead. I won't end up like my dad, and I won't end up being a screw. Sound of a couple of bars, you're to blame. You better watch out, or you're gonna end up back inside. The tires are pop, your ankles are screwed. You're watching the sock, you're looking at the prisoners. Sister, you're walking around the most, and you're in the zone. I won't end up like my dad. If I won't end up like my dad.